Bone chilling greetings, everyone. The music for this episode is courtesy of the lovely country legend, my friend Bobby Mackey, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow. Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away? Everyone knows that you couldn't bear the pain, so you took your life in the pouring rain. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift. Whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from tiny town to the largest of cities and everything in between, it is greatly appreciated. This week's special city shoutouts go to Okuto, Japan, London, Canada, Roslindale, Massachusetts, Holton, Maine, Bournemouth, England, and Granby, Missouri. This week I have my good friend joining me, Matt Fioli. He was one of the very first people to ever be on the podcast, and he is the first guest of 2025. And he had also been on the radio show, so it's safe to say that we go back more than a few years. Matt Fioli has been investigating and researching the paranormal for close to 15 years now. He is the founder of Gateway Paranormal Society and also a documentary filmmaker, currently with three movies available on Amazon Prime: Uncovering Wilden, A Voice for the Silenced, and Fairfield County Infirmary, The Forgotten. Matt took an extended break from the paranormal to regroup, and now he's back with some new ideas and a new approach to all of this. He currently has a couple of projects in the works that will be streaming as well. Matt joined me back at the beginning of the podcast days in Season 1, Episode 14, and it's titled Uncovering Wilden with Matt Fioli. And I really recommend that you go back and listen to that one as well, as this is one of the documentaries that he has done. So pretty awesome stuff. Without further delay, let me get the man of the hour on here. Matt Fioli, my friend, welcome to Paranormal Prowlers Podcast. Can you believe the last time you were on the podcast was back in June of 2019?
Wow.
I know, right?
It's been some years.
yeah, for sure. It's been some years. I mean, time sure flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does. I've done a lot since then, and definitely excited to, you know, catch up with everything.
Absolutely, for sure. So December 21st of last year, you investigated with your team at the Old Stone Jail in Franklin, Kentucky, and you posted some video and shared some pretty awesome evidence. Now, I definitely want to hear about the evidence, but first, can you tell us a little bit about the history of this phenomenal location, the Old Stone Jail?
Yeah, absolutely. So that jail was Franklin, Kentucky's fourth jail, Simpson County's fourth jail, and it was built in 1879. So these other jails were, you know, burnt down in fires and just all kinds of crazy history with those. But the one that currently standing is from 1879, and it's attached to it is a jailer's residence. And that jailer's residence was built in 1839. A jailer's residence is where they obviously have the jailers living on site. Back then, it was like a rule you had to live within a certain amount of feet of the jail if you were the jailer. So that's why they attached that house to the jail. And then, let's see, there was upstairs in the jailer's residence, which I thought was incredible, was a wall that had plexiglass on top of it. But behind that plexiglass was original Civil War graffiti that was like carved into the wall. And
wow.
They like preserved it with plexiglass. It was super cool. And then like there was another part where I was in the jail cells, and the jail cells are two floors, and each floor has about six cells in it. Well, upstairs they had a bunch of like old court documents and stuff, and I get to looking, and there's like court documents in there, like original ones from before the Civil War. I was blown away that they were still up there, and there was like old money and stuff like laying around from the Civil War, and just incredible history throughout that building. There was that jail got like taken over at one point during the Civil War by Confederate guerrillas. Just insane history throughout that building.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's intense. That's, I don't know what it is about old jails, you know? That's like one of my, it has to be one of my favorite things to investigate.
The thing that blew me away with this place was, you know, I first walking in and, you know, my good buddy Bill Wilkerson, he's the one that runs that location up there, and he also runs the Simpson County Museum. So he was doing the walkthrough with me, and he actually used to be a part of my team back in the day. But he was showing me around the building, and he was telling me about a dog spirit that was on the property. And I was a little weary because, you know, I've heard about dog spirits, but I've never experienced one. So I was just kind of like, eh, whatever. Well, we were investigating, and I guess this dog was the jailer's dog. And at one point, someone, my buddy Jeff, had said he felt something like on the lower part of his leg, and then we started hearing some more noises in this room, and I remember looking at Steven, and I said, dude, it sounds like that dog is panting in here. It's like what it kind of sounded like, and I just had the spur-of-the-moment idea, and I was like, what was that dog's name again? And we all kind of figured out his name was Lucy, and I was like, come on, Lucy, like calling it over to me, and
yeah.
Kept calling, and finally, like, we all heard what sounded like collar jingling through the building. It was insane.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, and then there was another portion where he was showing me the jail cells, and Bill had told me a story about what happened to one of the prisoners, and it was just awful. I couldn't even imagine, but he was a African-American guy, and he was apparently having mixed relations with I believe it was the jailer's wife.
Oh, no.
And then all of a sudden, this man, quote-unquote, mysteriously burned in a cell. You know, he was literally on fire, burned to death, and they called it a mystery. Pretty terrible, but
yeah,
we investigated that room and got some crazy stuff. Like, it was saying, talking about him getting burned, and it said the wife did it, and then a woman came through and said it never happened.
What?
It was, yeah, it was crazy.
Wow. So the woman that he was having an affair with, he's saying that she's the one who actually murdered him?
Yeah.
Whoa, holy shit, that is wild. That's crazy that a woman came through saying that it didn't even happen. That is
yeah,
wild.
Yeah, you have to go look at that clip again, because you can even hear the tonal difference. Like, it was a man talking, then a woman came through and said, it never happened.
I will definitely have to. That's just, like, mind-blowing to me. So, knowing that history about that jail cell, when you walked in there, did you feel anything, like, negative energy or just despair or sadness?
The only thing I felt remotely close to that was when I was upstairs, I got the feeling of, I don't know the right word for it, but, like, someone in that room so mad that you're in there, like, you could just feel the energy off of that, like, they're wanting us to get out of there. Like, I kept feeling that in that upstairs room, and that's where we got a shadow figure on camera. We got a camera light, got knocked over, caught an EVP, and I even caught, like, one of the weirdest pieces of, like, spirit box sessions I've been a part of in a while. I don't even know how to explain it without sounding crazy, but it's like I almost caught like a blip of history, like as if these people were just having a conversation with themselves, and then all of a sudden it just cut out.
No way. Wow.
Yeah, like it was these two guys talking about money, and like one of them said the money, and then this wasn't even split up. Like, this was all just right after each other. Like, it said the money, and it said, where's the money? And then my buddy Jeff's heard the word money, so he said, where's the money? And then it said the yard. And then something else came through and said, don't tell him. And don't know. That's one of the wildest investigations I've been on in a while.
Yeah, I would say so. It sounds like it was like plumb full of evidence from EVPs, the shadow figures, spirit box reactions, and just everything. I remember one time I was in Jerome, Arizona, old mining town, and I was in this jail, and I got an EVP of a man saying, "Hide the gold."
What?
Right? And it's just, yeah, right? I mean, seriously, and it's so cool when, I mean, you and I have been doing this for years, and it's just like, I always am like a little child when it comes to EVPs. Every single one is a present, and I am just so incredibly excited when I get them, you know?
I'm that way with, like, specifically when I catch an EVP through like my camera mic.
Yeah.
I get so excited when I'm sitting at the computer editing and all of a sudden I hear like words coming through the mic that aren't anybody else's. I was like, holy crap.
Right. No, absolutely. No, I'm right there with you. It's just always so absolutely exciting. And I don't care if you're doing it for a year, 20 years. I don't think that excitement will ever go away from me, and I don't want it to.
No, me either. And I get, it doesn't happen often, but like my favorite evidence to get is probably like a disembodied voice. And I've had that happen probably like 5 or 6 times, like really legit ones. And it gets me so like a kid all Christmas excited whenever it happens.
Absolutely. That's the best type of excitement, if you ask me.
Yeah, like it just a voice speaking out of thin air and everyone else in the room just heard it. Like that gets me every time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's times where I'm investigating and we're, you know, I'm recording everything, obviously. But yeah, there's times where I'll hear a voice and it's always a man and it's always in my right ear. And I hear him, and I'm always debunking stuff. I know you do too, but I'll like say if I hear a dog barking or whatever, but I'll say, hey, I just heard a man talk. And it'll be dead silent when we're doing this. It's not like, you know, we're somewhere where there's a lot of activity, like, you know, human activity going on.
Yeah.
And so it is pretty neat after listening to the recordings and hearing this man's voice and then hearing me say, I just heard a man and nobody else heard it. And so it's pretty neat when that happens for sure.
Absolutely.
One of your videos, Matt, you kind of replayed it, and I only watched it once. I'll need to watch it again, but it had to do with the shadow figure. And talk about that if you will, because that was really, really impressive. This was at the jail.
Yeah, so it was funny because I didn't even know I caught that shadow figure until I was going to upload a clip to TikTok and I was trying to cut it down to, you know, be within like a minute or whatever. So I go like scroll the frame by frame and find like the spot I want to cut and, you know, delete the rest of so I can have just the minute long video. And I'm like, what in the heck was that? So I scroll and I'm like 100% seeing a shadow going back and forth as I'm moving like my finger right to left, like scrolling on the phone. I'm like, no freaking way. And then I'm sitting there thinking about it and I'm at work when I saw this. I'm like, okay, well, I'm behind the camera. I'm also behind the light that's facing Steven on that you see on camera. So that shadow wasn't me. The other person was in the opposite corner of the room, and there's like a dividing wall in the middle of the room. So like his light would have been blocked off anyways, not to mention if he was to walk over there, it wouldn't have picked up a shadow in between the camera and where Steven was standing. So I was like, at that point, I was like, I'm fairly certain I got a legit shadow figure on camera, but let me go home. I had all of Steven's GoPro footage on my laptop. So he was wearing a GoPro on his chest, which he was facing the other end of the room. So he would have been able to see me and Jeff. So I pulled that footage up and there was nobody even moving at all. And I was like, holy crap. Cause I mean, that's 100% like a shape of a person walking in front of the camera.
Right. No, it totally is. And I love what you were just saying, that, you know, you're trying to debunk it. You're trying to, you know, okay, I'm going to go the extra mile and look at his camera too. And no, it wasn't us, you know. That's always important because not everything's paranormal, but that definitely was. I mean, I was watching that. I was like, holy crap, that is awesome.
Well, a lot of people got, which is, you know, not saying anything bad about them because I think that it was a great question to ask. I would have asked it too, but a lot of people were like, maybe you should go back and stick someone outside and walk past the window and see if that imitates anything. And I said, my response to that was, that is a great idea. However, this was upstairs on the second floor. So
right.
that rules that out.
Yeah, most definitely.
I don't get a whole lot of like evidence like that where I've just, everything's been ruled out. That one was very cool. That's probably one of my favorite findings I've had in a long time.
Yeah, that was very neat. I'm going to try to remember, but I'm going to try to share that video on the Paranormal Prowlers podcast page. So you guys and gals who are listening, go on that page and take a looking at that, or on Matt Fioli's page. But yeah, most definitely very awesome evidence for sure. Seems like that location, like you said, is just plumb full.
Well, the crazy thing about that location is I actually went to it maybe 3 years beforehand, and granted, I didn't have any equipment with me at the time, but Bill said, hey, man, I want to show you this place. I went down there and walked it. I didn't really even feel much when I went there the first time. Like, I even had made the comment getting back in the car, like, I don't know if this is really worth checking out again, but, you know, maybe we'll see what happens in the future. And, well, just so happened. 3 years later, I went back for just because I was wanting to get into something one Saturday morning and got the craziest evidence I've had in a long time.
That's awesome. Yeah, I bet it's drawing you back. I bet you have the itch to go back.
Oh, yes. That definitely pulled me back in.
That's awesome. Gotta love locations like that for sure. Matt, last time you were on, June of 2019, we talked about uncovering Wilden, and I did tell people the episode number so they could go back and listen to that one. But let's talk a bit about your other two documentaries that you have released since then. Let's start off with A Voice for the Silenced.
Yeah, so A Voice for the Silenced holds a little special place in my heart, I think. Well, honestly, all of them do, because they're a lot of work, but not only that, it's a lot of, like, time and energy in these buildings. Like, A Voice for the Silenced, I went out with my team. We stayed in the building for 3 days. We slept there, showered there, ate there, like, the whole nine yards. Like, that was our home for 3 days.
Yeah.
It was Randolph County Infirmary. And that place did not disappoint either. That was a three-story, if you count the basement, asylum. And in Winchester, Indiana, the first night we started out with, you know, we did our walkthrough. She showed us some of the places where other teams have gotten evidence at. And then we went on about our business. And first night was, you know, fairly active. We did get some evidence, but nothing crazy. But moving into the second night, that building came alive. Like, we had so much communication, and in fact, like, there was a part of that where it was daytime, and I grabbed Matt Wyatt, and I said, hey, why don't we go down to the basement where the kitchen's at? They have a buzzer on the wall. Let's wait until about 12 o'clock. Let's buzz that, and let's walk through the building yelling, like, time to eat, because that's what it would have been like back then. They would have, you know, rang the buzzer, time to eat, and everybody get up and start doing their thing, and so we did that, and I started, you know, hollering through the halls, walking the whole building. We both kind of got to this room, and we said, why don't we go in here and investigate for a little bit? And we had one of the craziest sessions of my life. We had a digital recorder, we had an ovilus, and we had a K2 meter on us, and that was it. And we walked in this room, put the recorder down, put the K2 down, started talking, and we had asked the question, could you light this K2 up to the orange light to let us know that you're in here. And it lit up orange, and then we kept talking, and I can't remember the exact question, but it was something along the lines of the same question we just asked, but I think instead of the orange, we used, like, the red light, and nothing happened on the K2, but then I said, let's replay the recorder back, and we go to replay the recorder back, and we get to that question I just asked, and I hear something there. We caught an EVP. I just couldn't figure out what it said yet. And I'm like, what is that saying? And we're passing the recorder back and forth, trying to listen to it. And then the obelisk goes, perhaps. And we just kind of looked down. I was like, perhaps. And then we look up at each other and realize, like, that's what the EVP was saying. And the obelisk, like, just told us what it was saying. And we go back and replay it, and it for sure says perhaps. But then we continue to investigate. And I said, like, so I take it the woman's name, like, the room we were in, her name was Lulu. And I said, I take it that Lulu's in here. And she, like, spoke up out loud for us and said, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that was all on camera. That was an insane, insane session.
That is incredible. Yeah. Now, that's really neat that you're doing these documentaries. You know, it kind of gives people an inside look on these locations that shouldn't be forgotten, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And, like, and that brings to the next one, which is the Fairfield County Infirmary, The Forgotten. We did that at Fairfield County Infirmary in Lancaster, Ohio. This building was also another poor farm / asylum. But they also at one point used this building for, like, runover for tuberculosis. So, like, they have a morgue in this building, and they just would, like, be piling bodies up in there. And
wow,
they ended up getting so many bodies on that property that they had to bury the bodies standing upright because they were running out of room. So there's, like, supposedly over 1,600 bodies in the back.
Wow.
And that place was insane. Another crazy scenario, like, we were investigating the last night, and you know, the part of the documentary I was talking about, like, it'd be really cool if we could get a name and, like, start a monument for these people that don't have, like, any recognition out there, you know, make them some sort of gravesite. And so we were upstairs, and I was like, you know, is there anybody that would be, you know, wants to be recognized on the grave marker out there we're going to make? And, you know, asking for a name. And I said, it was the same scenario almost too. I was like, play the recorder back. And he stopped it before it got to that last question. And I was like, dude, I'm really curious to see if that says a name. Can you play that back? And he's like, and then the obelisk goes, Elizabeth. I said, dude, if that thing says Elizabeth down there, I'm going to shit. And he plays it back, and it says, pray for me, Elizabeth, pray. And yeah. I said, holy crap, dude.
Oh, wow. Pray for me, Elizabeth, pray. That is incredible. Wow.
And we made a monument for her. Like, we made her, like, a cross with a sign that had her name on it, and, you know, put it in the ground up there. It was all wood from the building. It was a sign from the building. It was paint we found inside of the building, like bricks that we found in the basement, like all of it.
Really? That's awesome. I love that. I love that you did that because, like you said, especially, like, back in the tuberculosis days when it was, like, basically a death sentence, like Waverly Hills, the thousands and thousands went there, not many people left, and they were doing mass graves and just different things. And it's like, I know, like, asylums, people would be like, okay, I'm dropping off my family member. Sometimes they wouldn't even tell the people the name. They would just dump them off, and they, like, you know, they were kind of, like, nameless. And so that's, I love that you guys did that for her. Were you able to get any other names?
We got one more because we ended up coming back to that location and did an event, and I was upstairs in the what's called the chicken coop, but it's basically just where they would throw, like, the worst of the worst and literally chain them to the wall. It was awful, but like you would see like hooks still in the wall where they'd be chained up. It was nuts.
Jeez.
But we went up there and caught the name Amy. So we added that to the sign. And that was what we did on the documentary, was announced like anybody that gets a name, just add it to the sign. And like we had gone back like a year later to do a convention there, and the sign was filled up. So we went and found another metal sign and painted it the same color and just added strings to it and dropped it down below it and let people keep adding to it. But I think they took it down out there.
Oh, that's horrible. I was just going to say, that's amazing. That I love that you invited people. Like, if you're here investigating and you get a name, please add it, you know? And that's amazing that you went back and actually saw it filled up with names. That is just phenomenal to me. And that's sad that they took it down, because that's...
Yeah, I don't know why they did either.
Yeah.
Someone's feelings on down the line or hurt somewhere, but I don't know why.
Yeah, it almost makes you think if it was like somebody there that did that.
It was definitely the property manager.
Really?
Something happened between him and I that I don't even understand. Like, he had a convention, and then I told him, 'cause he was stressed out about getting his t-shirts done for his convention. So I said, you know what, man, I'll get my team together. I'll get the wife, get all the wives together. And we sat there and we made 500 shirts for this man.
Wow.
He just paid for the material and that was it. And we boxed it up and brought it with us up to the very tippy top of Ohio, all the way from Tennessee. And we got there, dropped shirts off. And there was a couple here and there that had like maybe like a letter fall off or a logo fall off. And we told them like that might happen because he changed some stuff up and we ended up rushing. But we said, if that does happen, let us know and we can fix it. But then, like, it never got fixed. I don't know if that was even the cause, but, like, that event happened, and then the dude just never talked to me again. I reached out to him. I texted him, hey, man, everything good? Like, if I did something wrong, like, let me know so we can work it out or whatever. Like,
right.
Tried to be the bigger man, but never got a response back. So I was like, oh, well, whatever.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, because it seems like you put so much time, energy, love, and money with those shirts into that place. And, yeah, I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah, and that was like a huge, like, I don't know. It wasn't the reason I stepped out of the paranormal, but it was a huge boost, because
yeah,
I did a lot of work for that place. And
right.
Like you said, a lot of time, energy, and effort to try to just, you know, bring attention to those awesome locations. I still think they're great locations, you know.
Yeah.
What can you do?
So, Matt, you are one busy dude. You're a paranormal investigator. You're a photographer, a musician, father and husband, a filmmaker who is currently working on a couple of other things that will soon be available for people's viewing pleasure. Are you able to talk a little bit about any upcoming projects at all?
Yeah, so I can talk a little bit about them for sure. We got a couple of locations that we'll be putting together, one of them being the jail that I was talking about. For a bigger paranormal documentary, this one would be focusing more so on history and tying history together, but also, you know, tying that in together with paranormal research. So yeah, I'm excited to bring it to everyone and let everyone see the kind of newer stuff I've been working on, and, you know, newer style of investigating and researching, to me anyways. And I don't know, I've just been having a blast with it. I know a lot of people, as far as like YouTubers right now that are doing paranormal, it's a lot of thumbnail type of stuff, like we're shock factor, we're gonna yell demon everywhere, we're gonna go and we just got possessed, you know. It's always that type of stuff for YouTube, and that's just not what it's about for me. So
yeah,
I really want to share. When I walk into a building, and I'm sure you can feel the same, you're like there, like it feels like you're in a blast from the past. And
yes,
that's what I'm trying to bring to everyone else, is let them experience what we experience and bring it to them in a very cinematic light. So yeah, I'm just excited to share it with everybody.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that for sure. Yeah, when I go to these locations, I do love learning the history about all of these phenomenal places, like just everything about them. And there's times where I'll just go to a location and it's like I just close my eyes and try to envision how it was back in their heyday, you know,
Yeah, absolutely.
over 100 years ago or whatever. And it just like sometimes I could really just picture it really, really clearly. And it's pretty amazing. But no, I love that you're doing that. Keep doing what you're doing. That's great.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's I have a few more things in the works too that I know a lot of people will be very excited for. I'm trying to keep it a little hush hush right now just because I have had things stolen from me in the past, but
Oh no.
no, when I get these things up and ready, I'll definitely be letting you know so we can let everybody see. I know I told you a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Just trying to bring a different light to the way people view paranormal.
Love it for sure. Yeah, well, definitely once you have those things in the works more and you're able to talk more about it, we'll have you more on to talk about that. You took a little bit of time off from the paranormal, and I think it's good. Like we were talking about it earlier, that if your body and mind and soul are telling you need to take a break, then you just need to take a break, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, it gets you rebooted and everything. And so, what did you do with that time, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so I mean, I literally, it was a time of rediscovering myself, I guess is a way to put it. You know, I took a step back from paranormal, and that was just like the beginning. Like, after I did that, I went through it a little bit, lost some things, and had to refigure out, you know, some things in life. And I guess that was more so like the first year out, I kind of went a little crazy, I would say, just not knowing what to do with all this time, I guess. And then I've always been a fisherman, outdoorsman, so like I just focused on that, went out and did a whole bunch of fly fishing and cleared my mind and, you know, get out there in the woods doing photography or whatever, and
Yeah.
just trying to clear my mind. And, you know, honestly didn't ever see myself getting back into the paranormal, so I was just enjoying being out there in nature, and I still do. Still go out there and explore. But I had a weird moment of a buddy of mine at work was telling me like some ritual game that him and his friends played when they were like teenagers at some crossroads, and he had something follow him home after he did that, and he was telling me about it. So I was like, man, that'd be a really cool idea for just like a movie to make, like just make a movie based off of that experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing like reenactments and stuff. And so I went home that night and I started thinking about different names for like something at the crossroads or whatever, and wasn't coming up with anything. And I said, well, I'll just go to bed on this one. And the next morning I was at work and someone had asked me like where a town was, and I have a map of Tennessee above my desk, and I looked up and the first thing I noticed was Baker's Crossroads. And
Huh.
I was like, that's a weird coincidence, but whatever. And I tell them their answer, and then I go to my investigative mode, and I was like, Baker's Crossroads haunted. And I learn about the story of Sadie Baker, who was a witch who got like buried alive for basically just being pretty. And then I start researching all that, deep diving, and then that causes me to deep dive even further into other things. And then I go out to our gravesite, and it was just all over after that. I've been going full force ever since.
That is awesome. Now, is Sadie Baker really a witch, or was she like kind of like in the Salem witch trials where these little girls are saying they're witches?
She was not a witch, so like
Yeah.
the townspeople were claiming she was because all the guys were like just head over heels for her, and she showed up out of nowhere. And like the rich family in the town found this girl on the road, all dirty and dingy, and they brought her home, cleaned her up, and realized she was like drop dead gorgeous. So they decided to keep her in the house because the other girls needed to get married off first, and they didn't want to worry about other guys liking Sadie more. So they kept her in the house for a while, and then they ended up one day, the oldest daughter, Olivia, she was like feeling bad for Sadie being in the house all the time, so she asked her to go to town with her, and when she did, all the guys were just gawking, like just in love, and this made her very angry, so she went back home and told her mom. Well, the mom then went to the preacher and told the preacher that she thinks that Sadie Baker's a witch because of all the guys being bewitched over her, and then they convinced the townspeople, and then the townspeople ended up burying her alive.
Oh, that's horrible. Just because people were jealous, you know? That's, wow.
Awful stuff.
Jeez, yeah, that's kind of like Cinderella here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jeez, Alou, wow. Matt, on Thanksgiving Day, the paranormal world lost an amazing person, my friend Jerry Pauly from Hillbilly Horror Stories. And, you know, Jerry was very unique, and he actually wrote out and I believe even recorded his very own eulogy. And that's really rare. You don't really see that or hear that, you know, people doing that. And so it actually made me think, geez, maybe I should do that for me. If you, you know, it's like, I don't know. If you were to write your own eulogy, what the hell would you say about yourself?
Oh, man.
I know, you've probably never been asked this before.
That's a deep question. I don't know. I think I would just like to be known as an explorer of all. Like, I like to just go out and experience things, and whether that be nature, paranormal, historical sites, whatever. I don't know. That's a great question. I might have to think about that a little more.
Yeah. When I heard that he actually had done that, I was just kind of in awe. I was like, wow, that's...
What would you write?
Well, I... Now you're making me think. Jeez.
I know, that's tough.
I know, yeah, it really is. It, you know, I would just say that I love my family to pieces. That even as... Here, I'm giving my age because I'm not like other women. I don't care how old people... I don't care if people know how old I am. I'm 42 years old, and I wasn't able to go home for Christmas this year, and I cried like a baby. I just think that I would say, you know, a huge family person that would drive thousands of miles to be with them. Like you, love adventure, whether it's going rafting on the Rio Grande River in Colorado or playing Pharaoh at Oriental Saloon in Tombstone. Or
yeah, for sure.
Going up in the mountains and getting that perfect picture of a bald eagle. Yeah, I don't know. That is a hard question. You know, it's kind of like one of those, like you said, I need to think about it.
I've been thinking on it for days now.
Well, we'll have to write you eulogies, and we'll have to get back to that. We'll have to read each other our...
Yeah, for sure.
Because that is, you know, I was just like, God, it was in Kentucky. And I was like, I really wish I could have gone to that, because just for, you know, Jerry was such a great guy. And just for that alone, just to hear his eulogy. And, you know, death, it's something that we deal with all the time in the paranormal world, communicating with the deceased. How do you feel about death? Are you afraid to die?
No, I mean, I'm not afraid to die. I don't know. My beliefs have changed over the years of doing this, for sure, as I think a lot of people probably do. I don't know. I think that whenever we die here, we start somewhere else. So I'm kind of just intrigued on seeing where that goes.
Yeah.
Not intrigued enough to find out anytime soon, but
right.
Definitely. I don't know. I try to look at it as more intriguing thing than a scary thing. Now, on the flip side of that, loss of people does suck very bad.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, personally, like, I don't fear it. I think I used to. Now I'm more just like, I wonder what it's like.
Right. Yeah. You know, I just, you, I've heard so many cases of people who have died and literally brought back to life, you know, and so many of them have shared experiences like when I died, I was reunited with my mom, my dad, my siblings, my favorite dog, my favorite teacher, so many different things. And I have so many people that I've lost throughout. I started losing people at a very, very, very young age. And so it, to me, I'm just like, when I die, I know the reunion's going to be huge, you know, seeing all of the people. And to me, it's like I'm excited about that, but yeah, like you, I'm not racing to the finish line, obviously.
For sure.
I still have stuff to do, but when people who are really close to me die, I'm over emotional. I take death not so good. And so I always have to think of every single thing that we said to each other, find every single picture we have of each other or, you know, together. And just my mind gets obsessed with it. And so just the fact that I won't see them physically, it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I know. I don't know. I try to ask about it a lot when I'm on investigations because I am very curious. And there's been a couple times where I've asked and I've gotten a similar response of like a spirit saying they can't find heaven or heaven's hard to find or they can't see the light. And like, I find that very interesting. Like, it makes me think so much more outside of the paranormal hearing those responses because it's like, okay, well, obviously no one really knows what happens after you die. Like, we all have our own theories and opinions and all that good stuff, but no one really knows. But, you know, you talk to a spirit and, you know, when they tell you, like, heaven's hard to find, well, what does that exactly mean? So then I get to deep diving into that and I'm like, all right, well, if they're a spirit here, is that a form of purgatory, or is that they haven't just found heaven, or are they not gonna reincarnate if that's what you believe? Like, it leaves so many questions to me, but I guess that's ultimately like why I keep going back and asking more and more questions.
Right. Yeah, it keeps you just intrigued and wanting more for sure. 'Cause like you said, it's like one of those grand mysteries that eventually all of us as we pass on will find out, you know, find
Yeah,
the
for sure.
answers. But yeah, it's just kind of like it's like you're just kind of in purgatory or you're stuck in limbo or you
Yeah.
know, it is interesting. Like, do you have the choice to just go or if you have unfinished business? And like for me, I always kid around saying I have a list of people I'm going to haunt when I die. And I kind of not kidding because I do have a little list, but you know.
Yeah, for sure. You gotta have a little list.
You do. You really, really do. I don't know. It's like I've always been interested to see my own funeral. I've just like, 'cause I've been to so many funerals. I've been to so many of them. And you just, it's hard not to feel the love and the respect people have for the person who's no longer there. And then the celebration of life. You know, people just sharing stories and laughing till you're crying, and inside jokes are revealed, and just like different things like that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I'm kind of weird. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't want to see my own funeral, but I'd like to see the celebration of life part when people are just like sharing the goofiest of stories and just like whatever.
I've always wanted, and I've been actually trying to find a place to get it all like set up, but I'm doing a Viking funeral whenever I pass.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would
I know it's
be.
officially legal in Maryland, but I think you still have to find like private property to do it on or something.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. That would be a good venue, you know, if somebody had this beautiful land with the, you know, water and hey, you want to have your Viking funeral here, plan now and do it here or whatever, and have it all set up or whatever. That'd be a pretty neat
That would be
venue,
cool.
you know? Yeah, different, unique, just
it's not hard to dig a pond or something out on someone's property either.
That would be pretty neat, and people more and more are just fascinated with that, you know, just different. Oh, yeah. That'll be interesting. Like you said, not too soon now.
Yeah, no, not too soon. I've been trying to look at places, but that's just so I can, you know, maybe get a wheel set up at some point in my life.
Yeah, I hear you for sure. So, Matt, to date, what's the most incredible evidence that you've ever collected? Like, throughout all the years and all the locations that you've investigated, what is your current number one?
I would probably say, like, I almost want to go with this shadow figure I just caught at the jail because,
yeah,
like, of just how profound it was on camera.
Right.
I might have to say that. I mean, like, visually especially, that was an incredible piece of evidence. I love audio evidence. I know you do, too.
Yeah.
I have lots of favorite audio stuff, but I don't know. I think as far as, like, evidence in general, what everyone would look at, like, just the regular viewer of good paranormal evidence, that shadow figure I caught at the jail probably is it.
Yeah, for sure. That is pretty awesome. And I will share that on the Paranormal Prowlers podcast page for sure. So again, guys, please take a look at it because it is pretty epic stuff. And, you know,
I definitely appreciate that.
Oh yeah, for sure. Being a documentary filmmaker, you could tell you just put a lot of work and love into your videos, even just like little short ones on YouTube. You could just, they're really nicely done. So you guys will enjoy this. Definitely take a look at it. Before we end this, can you tell people again where they could find your phenomenal documentaries and when the others will be released, if you know that yet?
Yeah, so my documentaries are on Amazon Prime. If you have the Prime Video app on your TV, go on there. There's one called Uncovering Wildin. There's A Voice for the Silenced, and then there's Fairfield County Infirmary, The Forgotten. I also have a three-part docuseries on YouTube called Madison Seminary, The Homecoming. That's on my YouTube page, Gateway Paranormal. And then you can find any sort of new content on Matt Fioli or Gateway Paranormal, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. As far as the new ones, I'm hoping to at least have some sort of trailer released by like April, May area.
Okay.
So we'll definitely, when I get that posted, I'll definitely share it with you, and then we'll get it shared out everywhere.
Yeah, I love that for sure. Most definitely. Yeah, April, May, not too far away. So, and check out those others on Amazon Prime. Matt, my friend, it was an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. And, you know, I definitely appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
You as well.
I want to say real quick, I always have a huge love for paranormal, and, you know, jumping back into this after being gone for a couple of years has been not a huge warm welcome, but I definitely appreciate you taking the time and talking with me. It's much appreciated.
It's always greatly appreciated talking to you and you taking time out as well. And I welcome you back.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely appreciate that. Always been a great friend to me, and it's very appreciated.
Thank you. Always a pleasure talking with Matt Fioli. Such a nice guy, and can't wait to see what his other projects are. I definitely need to see all of his documentaries that he was talking about. You can tell he just genuinely cares and puts a lot of love, thought, energy into all of what he does. So keep doing what you're doing. Don't let the haters get you down. Just do you, my friend. So I'm going to watch them, and you should too. Remember, Amazon Prime. So big shout out to Matt Fioli for being on the podcast. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? No need to worry. Just hit up any of those podcast platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic, Deezer, basically wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Do you have experiences, investigations, encounters with the supernatural and paranormal that you would like to share? Love to have you on a future episode. Just hit me up at paraprowl@gmail.com, or you can find me on the Paranormal Prowlers Podcast Facebook page. Thanks, everyone.
See you next week.